If you've got questions about public media funding, we've got answers. Our quick guide explains what's at stake for WSHU, what we know so far, and how you can help. It's all in one place. Just visit WSHU.org. This is Long Story Short from the Connecticut Mirror and WSHU Public Radio. I'm Ebong Udama. Connecticut has the oldest public ferry in the country.
It was one of many similar services that kind of worked up and down the Connecticut River and across rivers and streams all over New England and the early nation.
That's John Morris, the Connecticut Mirror's environment and energy reporter. He's done a deep dive into a four-minute Connecticut River ferry between Rocky Hill and South Glastonbury. That's now the oldest continuous-running public ferry in the country. More to come after this.
Whether you order a grinder or a hero for lunch, spend summers on the Sound or on Jones Beach, and I'm not even going near the pizza debate, there's something for nutmeggers and Long Islanders alike on the WSHU podcast, After All Things. Get the news and culture from around the Long Island Sound in less than 15 minutes. Hosted by me, Sabrina Garone. Weeknights wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, John. How did you find out about the Rocky Hill Glastonbury Ferry? It started back in 1655. How did you find out about it? And is that why you wanted to do a story and do a deep dive into this?
So I actually found out about the ferry by myself taking a trip on its sister service, the ferry between Chester and Hadleim, a little bit further down the Connecticut River. I've ridden that ferry a number of times on my way to and from Gillette Castle State Park, and had always known through that service about the Rocky Hill and Glastonbury ferry that's a little further up the river, but I had never actually ridden it until I got the chance to go out earlier this month on the ferry service with the captain who I interviewed. I think the reason I wanted to tell this story is I've long been interested in this kind of anachronistic mode of transportation that we have here in Connecticut that kind of dates back centuries that you don't really see around anywhere else. And I wanted to explore kind of the reasons why it still exists and why it's continued to be successful, whereas, you know, other services like this throughout the country have slowly fallen away.
Now, this is 1655 when they started this ferry. How have they kept it going all these years?
So when this ferry opened, you know, it was one of many. I did a little bit of research into the history, and it was one of many similar services that kind of worked up and down the Connecticut River and across rivers and streams all over New England and the early nation. I think what's kept this one going, one, you had the state took over in the early 1900s, around 1917, and has really, you know, invested the money to keep it going, whereas other services that maybe were not so profitable, you know, it was just a simple matter of economics and efficiency. As more bridges were built over the rivers, it was easier for people with cars to just take that rather than having to wait for the ferry to come or pay a toll to cross the river.
Now, this is a four-minute ride across the Connecticut River between Rocky Hill and Glastonbury, South Glastonbury. If you were going by road, how long would it take you to make that journey?
So it depends on where you're starting out. If you're starting out from one of those two towns and your direction is to get to the other town, it's going to take you about, you know, an additional 20, 30 minutes. It's, I believe, a 13-mile detour to go up to, I believe, the closest bridges in Portland, Connecticut. But, you know, for people who are not traveling distinctively between those two cities, you know, if you're in New Haven where I live and you're trying to go to somewhere else in the eastern part of the state, there's bridges that are going to be a more convenient and cheaper option for you. And when I spoke to the captain, one of the things, you know, I learned from him is about 90% of the people, his passengers, he estimates are sightseers or people who are not taking it necessarily to commute to where they need to go, but are taking it to enjoy the journey. And that's been, you know, my experience on the Chester Hadleim ferries. Whenever I'm in that area, I look and see if the ferry's open. And I try to go across and just spend a little time and enjoy the river and enjoy the views of Drulet Castle. And I think that's what part of the reason that they've stuck around and remained so popular is that it's such a pleasant and unique experience.
100,000 riders a year.
Mm-hmm.
And this is paid for by state and federal money. It's cost about $1.4 million a year. How does that break down?
So it's the cost to operate both ferries is about $1.4 million, but 900,000 of that comes from federal funds. The state does charge. There is a toll on the ferries. I believe it's $5 or $6 a ride, but that money goes into the special transportation fund and isn't necessarily used to offset the cost of the ferry.
Now, they've tried cutting back on state funding or looking for other ways of subsidizing the funding of this ferry. How has that worked out over the years?
Yeah, so it seems, doing a little research, that this is something that pops up every decade or so when there's a budget crisis and the state needs to cut back funding, most recently under Governor Dan Malloy in 2011. And every time it's been proposed, you get this enormous pushback, both from the local community and from people around the state who have enjoyed riding it for years in the summers as part of their, weekly weekend excursions or, a road trip across the state or whatever it may be. There was even a proposal a number of years ago to sell ads like you would see on the side of a bus on the ferry to raise a little bit of revenues, and people pushed back strongly against that. And that proposal ended up being pulled back because I think people like the service. They like the way it is. It's the tug and the barge both date back to the 1950s. And it's something that people don't want to see changed.
Now, you spent some time with the barge captain, Blaise Clemente. Could you just tell us a little bit about him? He has a very interesting background.
Yeah. So he was, he formerly owned a stock brokerage on the Boston Stock Exchange. And he told me in 2004, he moved to Connecticut and was looking. He had previously also done some work on lobster boats had been riding and captaining boats all his life and wanted to really focus on that. And so he started a career with the Connecticut Ferry Service, and he's been a captain for the last 20 years. He's one of three captains on that specific route that split their time. The route operates 7 days a week.
So what's his experience? I mean, how has he kept it going all these years? It's a four-minute ride across the river.
I kind of asked him, is this something when you were trying to leave the world of finance, were you looking for something slow, a slower life on the water, so to speak? And what he said is, no two trips, even though this is something he's done hundreds of thousands of times, no two trips are the same. And the river can change on a minute-to-minute basis, and you have to keep on your toes and keep watch to make sure that the people and your passengers remain safe. And you can look up their safety records through the Coast Guard, and they have a pretty immaculate record. They've not lost any passengers or cars in the records that are available. So they have a pretty immaculate safety record.
Good. So, John, what's your takeaway from this? Is this a service that's going to continue for another 100 years?
I think that, remains to be seen. It's certainly something that has evolved from being a necessary utility for people in the area to something that is essentially a state-funded pleasure experience. But I think a lot of people really appreciate that. And I mean, for $5 or $6 on the weekends, it's such a pleasant thing to do that's affordable for families. The cost, the toll is per car. So you can load up a family with five people and it's the same $5 toll. So I think as long as people continue to appreciate that and realize the uniqueness of this service, I think it'll stay around.
Well, thank you so much, John.
Thank you for having me.
Long Story Short is hosted by me, Ebon Udana, and produced by Molly Ingram. Harriet Jones is our editor. WSHU's Alicia Daddario and the Connecticut Mirror's Gabby DeBenedictis are our digital team. This podcast is a collaboration between the Connecticut Mirror and WSHU Public Radio. We go behind the scenes at the home of public policy journalism in Connecticut. More can be found online at ctmirror.org and wshu.org. Our episodes can be found wherever you get your podcasts.